This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall bring you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's take a look at the Reader's Digest and see what exciting stuff we have to read today. How about, if I can find the page here, Words to Live By, A Life Well Lived. What I've Learned from Reading Obituaries. We Americans are vicious, voracious consumers of advice, seeking wisdom wherever we can find it. Podcasts, books, TED Talks, life coaches, influencers, religion, therapy, Dear Abby, barbers, bartenders, Uber drivers. The list goes on and on. I'd like to add my own personal sources for guidance, obituaries. It turns out the dead know a thing or two about living. I've been an avid obit reader for decades for the same reason the artist Maria Kalman says she reads them every morning. Maybe it's a way to try to figure out before the day begins what's important. I read them to see if any of my friends have died or if I'm still there. I mean, obviously, if my name's in the paper, I'm dead. Recently, I've begun using my TikTok account called Tips for the Dead People to share some life lessons I've learned from obituaries. Here are a few of my favorites. Suggestions, manager, and kindness. Maureen Brennan Weaver of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, was accomplished by any standard measure as a doctor, mother, and volunteer. But her obituary comes to life with tiny details. Maureen was 6 foot 0 inches tall and loved strays of all species. She could outthink any opponent, was riotously funny and pathologically generous. The last part is key to knowing her. If you mentioned a thing you liked, she'd get you 11 when she found them at a great price. When a nephew wished for a plastic microscope, she found him a real one at a great price and painstakingly prepared him hundreds of slides for his study. Turns out that qualities like generosity are actually the things that endure, not job titles or purchases. Overcoming obstacles isn't just for superheroes. If you think the catastrophe in your life will define you forever, worry not. I've read obituaries of lives that feature disasters, heartache, addiction, estrangement, breakups, and all manner of reckless choices. And guess what? In almost every case, there was another chapter, sometimes many more chapters. Renewals, rebirths, remarriages, relocations, it ain't over till it's over. Take Cherry Tubb of Nichols Hills, Oklahoma, who in 1955 and 1956 spent 6 months in a hospital using the loose of his legs to polio as a teenager, just months before the vaccine became available. His extraordinarily positive obituary reads, "You would have thought Jerry would have become needy, pessimistic, and maybe even jealous of others over 7 decades of a body. Continued to fail him again and again and again, leaving him both paralyzed and without feeling below his chest in the last years of his life. But he never did. Jerry kept getting up day after day, and he kept treating each moment of his life as a gift. Tubb's story includes law school, an epic love story, and so much more. The moral of the story, you may think that you're defined by catastrophic moments, but don't ever count yourself out, or anyone else for that matter. When in doubt, laugh. Renee Corn of El Paso, Texas, died at the age of 84, a crushing blow to her family. But as the obituary written by her loving son shows, this is a woman who was remembered for living life to the fullest, consequences be damned. The body, fertile, red-headed matriarch of a sprawling Jewish-Mexican redneck American family has kicked it. Hers was an itinerant, much-lived life, a Yankee Florida liberal Jewish tough gal who bowled him over in Japan, bowled him in North Carolina, and was a significant, unique parent. There will be a much mourning in many glamorous locales as she went bankrupt in. McKeesport, Pennsylvania, Renee's birthplace, where she first fell in love with ham and atheism. Fayetteville and Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina, where Renee's dreams, credit rating, and marriage will all be buried. And there will be a very disrespectful and totally non-denominational memorial on May 10th, 2022, most likely at a bowling alley in Fayetteville. The family requests absolutely zero privacy or propriety. Bye, Mommy. We loved you to bits. Not to be outdone by Edna Dubok of Nashua, New Hampshire. By the end of her life, she suffered from dementia, but in her obituary, Dubok's family preferred the highlights to joy she found in life. She was the bingo queen. She never met a candy she couldn't store in her bra for later. She had great teeth until they got lost. She'd flirt with everyone. She laughed so much that she often peed her pants. We'll miss her stories and her sporadic use of French. One thing we know for sure is that whenever she is, there's country music playing and she's dancing. In the end, people were remembered not by the disease, but how much joy they contributed to the world. Be honest, even when it hurts. There comes a point in life and in death when we need to be brutally honest about the hard stuff. Take Cody James Holland of Uvalin, New York. His mom wrote his obituary and led off with a truth bomb like no other. Cody James left us on August 8, 2020, as a result of injuries sustained from being a dumb A. He drank, drove, and didn't wear his seatbelt. Please don't be a dumb A. The obit generated some controversy, but his mom said she'd do it again to save someone else. Don't misunderstand. Holland was well-loved and relished his life. He loved his family and friends along with trucks, his motorcycle, his dog, his guns, hunting, fishing, steak, chew, beer, hats on sideways, Sour Patch Kids, Swedish Fish, and Shania Twain. But a tribute to him without the hard stuff wouldn't be a real tribute. You don't need to whitewash a person's life to pay tribute to them. We all contain paradoxes and complications, and not only is there nothing wrong with that, it's what makes us beautiful. Try something new. As a perfectionist, I find that the tip is the hardest and maybe the most important for me to implement. Can you imagine realizing at the end of your life that you didn't try something simply because you thought you might fail? Suffering from a fear of failure did not apply to Ida Keeling of Harlem, New York. According to her obituary, Keeling was 67 and depressed over the sudden loss of her husband and her two sons, when at the urging of her daughter, she entered a 5K, with only a day's notice. She was all in and said early in the race that she felt like she was running up and out of a hole. But someone had watered a plant that had not been watered in a long time. The spark was lit and she went on to run for three more decades. She died at 106. Don't like breaking a sweat? Then be like Ricardo Torres of Wayzata, Minnesota. His obit says, in recent years he discovered a passion for gardening. He approached it with little planning and lots of enthusiasm, especially when it came to killing weeds. Many a neighbor witnessed Rich using a flamethrower to torch the unwanted plants in his yard. The cigar in his mouth was a nice touch. Come on, there's a guy you want to know as your neighbor. There's a drawing of a guy with a big tank and a flamethrower and a big cigar in his thing and a mask on. Reading so many obituaries has, of course, inspired me to think about my own mindset. Punctual to a fault? Mediocre dancer, but extremely sarcastic? Her perfect meal was a peanut butter and bacon sandwich? Any of these things, as little as they are, say more about me than a list of jobs or money I've made. That's because little things in life, the things that keep inconsequential, but add depth and whimsy and joy to our days, they are what make it so worthwhile being alive. Now the healthy, wellnessfromthehealthy.com. When the world spins, vertigo is a surprisingly common. Here's how to handle it. One morning last winter, Lynn Smith was doing a series of gentle stretches on a mat in her living room, trying to loosen up a stiff lower back. When the 50-year-old sat up, she felt a bit strange. I started to feel dizzy in a way I had not felt before. Then when she got into bed that night, she felt as if the room was spinning around her. She went to her doctor who put a name on her experience, vertigo. I had a sales assistant that I worked with for a number of years who had periodic attacks of vertigo. While it's often described as a cessation of motion, vertigo is a more complex than a dizzy spell. People can experience ringing in the ears, loss of balance, double vision, and trouble swallowing, depending on what's causing the vertigo. Episodes could last anywhere from a few minutes to a few days. Although it can affect people of all ages, vertigo is most common in middle life and beyond, and is most common and more prevalent in women, although experts don't fully understand why, says Terry Fife, a neurologist at the Barrow Neurological Institute of Phoenix, who specializes in balance disorders. Nearly 40% of adults in the United States will experience vertigo at least once in their lifetime. It's important to understand that vertigo is not a disease in itself. It's a symptom. There are many reasons why someone may have vertigo, but generally falls into one of two types, peripheral vertigo and central vertigo. With peripheral vertigo, the most common cause is benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, or BPPV. It develops when cannula lifts, tiny crystals of calcium particles that naturally occur inside the ear become loose and move deeper into the inner ear canals. As they roll around, they can disrupt the transmission of information to the brain about balance. That's why the sensation the room is spinning can strike when someone leans back to look up at a high kitchen cupboard, bends over to tie a shoe, or as Smith discovered, folds over in a yoga pose. Less common causes are head injury or Meniere's disease, a rare inner ear condition. That's interesting. Of those of you who watch The Bachelor, one of the candidates on The Bachelor, and I don't watch it regularly, but I did see this article, has Meniere's disease. Central vertigo is less common and occurs in people who are experiencing a problem with the central nervous system, such as vestibular migraines, a type of migraine defined by extreme dizziness or stroke. A primary care physician may refer a patient to an ear, nose, and throat ENT specialist, or suggest a neurologist or a cardiologist. That's why getting the diagnosis right is especially important, says Dr. Fife. BPPV will often resolve itself in a few weeks or months, but rather than waiting, patients can try at-home exercises to wiggle the ear crystals back into position. The Epley maneuver, which worked for Smith, is the most well-known, and we'll talk about that in a second. According to a 2023 study published in the Journal of Medicine, if improved symptoms of vertigo in 98% of patients, it can also be done preventively, as Smith's neurologist recommended. An over-the-counter drug, meclizine, which is commonly used for motion sickness, can help quell symptoms in this strike. Smith's neurologist also recommended she avoid alcohol, sugar, and caffeine, as they could potentially trigger episodes of vertigo. Stress and inadequate sleep are other possible triggers. Feeling the room spin was terrifying, says Smith, as she shared her experience with others. She was surprised at how many said they too had experienced vertigo. This is not some obscure medical condition, she says. It's more common than you may think. An at-home treatment. For the most common cause of vertigo, BPPV, your doctor may suggest the Epley maneuver. Perform each step in order, holding each position for 30 to 60 seconds. Sit on your bed. Turn your head 45 degrees toward the affected ear. If you get dizzy when you roll your head to the right, it's likely your right ear. Number 2. Keeping your head turned, lie back on your head, hangs off the bed. Number 3. Slowly turn your head 90 degrees forward to the other side. Number 4. Roll on your side in the direction you're looking, then turn your head so you're looking down. Number 5. Sit upright, keeping your head turned. Tip. If you can, have someone with you for support, as you would likely experience vertigo. News from the world of medicine. Cure for mean world syndrome. Although news stories about disturbing events can be worth your attention, good news benefits your mental health, concludes a British experiment. More than 300 participants read stories about cruelty or violence, which not surprisingly dampened their moods. Those who went on to read lighthearted anecdotes, e.g. a mouthy parrot, felt better, but those who read stories about acts of kindness reported a greater belief in the overall goodness of humanity. These results suggest that even if you're exposed to a total barrage of bad news, hearing about the kindness of others makes you happier, protects you against what some researchers call mean world syndrome, an anxious outlook caused by an overestimation of the world's dangers. Common vaccines bring extra bonus. Staying up to date with your immunizations reduces your chances of developing Alzheimer's disease, suggests a study of people over 65 led by the University of Texas Health Science Center of Houston. Specifically, the vaccines for tetanus and diphtheria, adults should get a booster every 10 years, shingles, recommended for people over age 50, and for pneumococcal disease, recommended for seniors over 65, lower the relative risk of Alzheimer's by as much as 50%. A couple of years ago, the same team found a similar risk reduction in the flu shot. Exercising the immune system with vaccines can help it respond appropriately to the toxic proteins that contribute to Alzheimer's as they build up in the brain. In addition, some preventable infections, such as shingles, can cause harmful brain inflammation. Type 2 diabetes breakthrough. People with type 2 diabetes will likely soon have the option of taking their insulin injections only once a week. That's because a new, longer-lasting treatment called insulin Icodec has performed well in late-stage trials, and its developer has applied for approval from regulators around the world. Boy, that'd be good news. The trial showed that this form of insulin lowers blood sugar levels at least as effectively as daily options do. That said, the participants taking insulin Icodec had a slightly higher rate of episodes of excessively low blood sugar, a risk that each patient, along with that their doctor, need to weigh against the convenience of fewer shots. Prevent RSV this winter. Respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, is an infection that surges each winter, or in tropical climates, each wet season. Most people have had it before, but they might not realize it because RSV usually causes only mild symptoms similar to the common cold. But it sometimes leads to serious breathing difficulties, particularly in elderly people and babies. Fortunately, scientists are now developing treatments to help prevent RSV in those most vulnerable groups. Two that are approved for use in the United States are an injectable drug called Belofortis, and I'm not going to try to say the name of the chemical name, it's about 28 letters long, for infants, and a new vaccine, Arvexi. It is suitable for some people over 60. Both treatments could protect people through at least one RSV season. Losing sleep over insomnia. Sleeping medications aren't always effective long-term, and they come with serious risks, such as memory problems and addiction. But you know that changes to thoughts and behavior can help with insomnia just as much as media meds can, if more not more. One of these tweaks is to stop watching the clock when you're hoping to nod off. Recent research led to a team of Indiana University found evidence that monitoring the time makes people feel more frustrated, which exacerbates their insomnia and ultimately makes them more likely to turn to pills. What a great idea. From genius minds around the world, 12 inventions that will improve our lives by Patricia Pearson. And it's a picture of all kinds of stuff here. Let's see what they're talking about. Shape-shifting clothes. Imagine owning a complete wardrobe but only a handful of garments. We know that 3D technology can print three-dimensional products, houses, tools, even skirts and pants. Now 4D technology takes that one step further by using a smart material that printed in 3D changes with the help of external stimuli like water, heat, or light. If you can picture a sponge or a memory foam mattress that contracts and expands, you're in the ballpark of understanding how these materials work. 4D clothing can be triggered to lengthen, fold, flatten, bend, and even change color. The military, for instance, has been testing uniforms that react to a soldier's surroundings by instantly creating camouflage shade appropriate to the environment. In other applications, scientists have created wearable gripping aids for people with limited mobility in their fingers, cardiovascular stents that expand and contract with each heartbeat, and soft tissue implants designed to release micro doses of medication. The research, conducted by MIT Self-Assembly Lab, is in its early stages. Researchers aren't letting on about how smart materials make up, but its potential impact on health and industry is boundless. Imagine one day that new IKEA dresser you buy and might not even come with instructions for putting it together. Simply add water and watch it pop up, ready to store your couple of items of 4D clothing. A brain implant that overcomes paralysis. Stunning advances in neurotechnology are bringing real hope to people with spinal injuries. One paralyzed man has been able to walk simply by thinking about it, thanks to a digital brain-spine interface that boosts neural signals damaged by the injury. Gert and John Oaksum, a 40-year-old from the Netherlands, has been using a wheelchair since a cycling accident 12 years ago. But electronic implants in the brain now allow him to transmit his intentions to a receptor implanted in his spine. The implant, developed by a team of Swiss researchers, amplifies the and sends to his brain signals to his legs and feet through his nerve cells. It's been a long journey, Oxkin said, told DBBC News, but now I can stand up and have a beer with my friends. It's a pleasure that many people don't realize. Paint that cools. The Northern Hemisphere has just experienced the warmest summer on record, but a professor of mechanized engineering at Purdue University has a cool solution. Xylem Ruin has created a special white paint that can bounce sunlight back into the atmosphere, reducing the surface temperature of a building's roof by as much as 8 degrees at midday and up to 19 degrees at night. A specially designed paint containing high concentrations of light reflectant barium sulfate can reduce air conditioning needs by up to 40%, says Ruan. While typical white paint will reflect 80 to 90% of sunlight, this formulation reflects 98%, meaning only 2% of light is absorbed by the paint, helping to keep temperatures inside cooler. But Ruan expects the paint to become commercially available sometime this year. Meanwhile, his research team isn't limiting the technology to buildings. They've created substances for cars, trains, and airplanes, while branching out into other colors using the original white as a base. A wildfire-earning warning system. In August 2021, a smoldering fire near Lake Tahoe, California, consumed tree after tree, brush after brush, before growing into one of the largest wildfires in California state history. Had there been an early detection system, the Caldor fire, as it became known, might have been snuffed out before burning 221,000 acres, destroying 1,000 homes and businesses, and forcing tens of thousands of locals and tourists to flee. There wasn't such a detection system then, but there is now. Dryad Networks, a German company based in Berlin, has developed a small solar-powered sensor that can be mounted on trees. This electronic nose sniffs out hydrogen, carbon monoxide, and other compounds that are released by the smoldering stage, alerting officials via wireless signal before smoke is even visible above the trees. It then provides exact GPS coordinates so firefighters can rush to the scene. It costs $50. In a recent test run in Germany, this sensor picked up a fire within 14 minutes. The tests have been so promising that forest regions from California to South Korea are trying out sensors. That's welcome news for the 3.3 million American homes that are potentially threatened by forest fires. The story behind the invention, an app that demystifies killer disease. Kawasaki's disease is every parent's nightmare. This rare illness has caused inflammation in blood vessels throughout the body and is a leading cause of acquired heart disease in babies and young children. Historically, it's been difficult to diagnose until recently when a young envelope developed an app that can detect it. Ellen Zhu's invention scans that we mentioned Ellen Zhu before. It's interesting. Invention scans a photograph of the child and looks for telltale signs of Kawasaki disease, such as ration and swollen tongue. It's a brilliant innovation that likely would have come about if it weren't so personal. When Zhu, a San Diego native, was 5 years old, her parents rushed her kid sister to the hospital. 3-year-old Kate had a fever, reddened eyes, and rash and swelling in her hands and tongue. But at first, the puzzled doctors guessed that she had influenza, but when the condition didn't improve, the Zhu's returned to the ER, where Kate was diagnosed with Kawasaki disease and treated with intravenous immunoglobulin antibodies that help boost immunity in time. In time, she shook off the illness without suffering damage to her heart, making her one of the lucky ones. Cut to a decade later then, Ellen, needing a project for high school science fair, recalled her sister's illness. "It was a puzzle I wanted to solve," says Ellen, now a student at Stanford. So she set out to do just that. Using data, she devised an algorithm that can identify the physical symptoms of Kawasaki disease from a photo. It works similar to apps that can identify birds and plants. The app is expected to appear soon in the Kawasaki Disease Foundation's website, kdfoundation.org. As for Kate, Ellen says the little girl with a mysterious disease is now a thriving high school junior with dreams of becoming an environmental engineer. Ingenious tech aid to aid abuse victims. People trapped in an abusive relationship now have potentially life-saving new ways to send an SOS. Police in South Korea have adopted a campaign called Knock Knock, which allows victims to discreetly report abuse by dialing 112 and tapping any number of twice. That double tap triggers a link that is sent to the phone via text. Once the user taps it, police can find the victim's location using the phone's GPS and even receive a live stream of what's happening throughout the phone's camera. Similarly, if someone in Warsaw, Poland goes to Lumotsky One Abarakti, Chamomile and Pansies, Facebook page, and suggests a product such as eye face cream to ship to their address, The shopper is instead connected with a psychologist. That order prompts a home visit from authorities, just as the victim had called the police. In 2021, Kirishna Pashko, a Polish high school student, launched the fake online cosmetic shop. It has helped as many as 350 people in its first year. Better food preservatives. The good thing about food preservatives is, of course, that they preserve food. Makes sense. The bad thing about food preservatives is that they can be bad for us. Calcium propionate, for instance, is used to kill bacteria and yeast in breads to ward off mold, but has also been linked to an elevated risk of diabetes and obesity. Chemists David Brown and Natasha Jean, old friends from college, came up with a way to preserve foods naturally. In 2023, their company, Chinova Bioworks, perfected a way to process mushrooms fiber extract so that when it's added to foods, it increases their shelf life without altering flavor. We took our organic cream cheese products and extended the shelf life from 6 weeks to 10, says Bowen. That's an extra month. Smear some of your bagels, meaning less food waste plus extra fiber on a good day. On top of that, mushroom farmers get to sell something they would otherwise discard, since the fiber is made up from the cycled mushroom stems. The company is also partnering with wineries in California and New Zealand to test these preservatives, which could potentially replace the added sulfites that winemakers rely on right now for a long shelf life. Grapes naturally produce sulfite, so the extra is overload that some people can't tolerate well. We're trying to make an affordable product so that companies will actually use it, Brown says. We really hope to make the food industry more sustainable. Well, we actually have a few more of those, but let's go ahead and save those for next week, and let's go ahead back to what we were looking at next week was plastics in our food, which is not really good. But we're going to look at the final comments here, and then we're going to look at some less plastic, and they're going to show some of the plastics in our food. And I just looked at that a little earlier, and it's kind of scary. Making food safer. Growing concerns about health risks posed by these chemicals that led U.S. regulators to meaningfully curtail the use of these chemicals in a number of products, but not yet food. For example, the federal government has banned 8 phthalates in children's toys. But with the exception of the 2012 ban on BPA in baby bottles, extended in 2013 for infant formula cans, there are no substantive limits on plastic-related chemicals in food, packaging, or production. Just last year, the Food and Drug Administration rejected a petition from multiple groups calling for a ban on more than two dozen phthalates in material that come in contact with food. An FDA spokesman told CR that in 2022, it asked the food industry and others to provide the agency with additional data about the use of plasticizers in any material that comes in contact with food during production, and it might use that information to update its safety assessment of the chemicals. CR's food safety scientists and others say such a reassessment by the FDA and other agency is overdue and essential. Supermarket and fast food chains, as well as food manufacturers, should also be required to take action, Rogers says, and should set specific goals for reducing and eliminating of bisphenols, phthalates from all food packaging and processing equipment throughout their supply chains. CR contacted certain companies in our test that had products with the highest phthalate levels per serving and asked them to comment on our results. Annie's, Burger King, Fairlife, Little Caesars, Bo's Southwest Grills, Wendy's, and Yoplait did not respond to our request for comments. Del Monte, Gerber, McDonald's emphasized that they abide by existing regulations. Gerber added that it requires the suppliers to certify that its food packaging is free of BPA and phthalates. Chicken of the Sea said it required its suppliers to certify that neither products nor packaging has intentionally added BPA or phthalates, but it acknowledged that the fish live in water that is often polluted with phthalates. More chemical companies need to step up, too, by creating safer, more sustainable materials. We want them to be functional, but also non-toxic and biodegradable and renewable, says Hanno Etherbrall, Ph.D., at the Center for Green Chemistry and Green Engineering at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut. That may be tough, he acknowledges. It should be possible an entire field called green chemistry is working to develop just these sorts of alternatives. In the meantime, we can see the fashion tips on what you can do now to limit your exposure to chemicals in food and elsewhere. Less plastic in your food. Limiting exposure isn't as simple as avoiding particular types of packaging, because these chemicals can enter your food long before it is packaged. The best solution, says Marcel Maffini, Ph.D., a chemical safety expert and author of a recent study of phthalates risk, would be for manufacturers and regulators to ensure that our food was safe so they wouldn't have to make these decisions when we go to the grocery store. But that doesn't mean you're powerless now. Reducing your overall exposure to the chemicals in plastic, including bisphenols and phthalates, may help you avoid some of the risk. These are six steps that can help. Avoid plastic food storage containers. If you use them, don't heat them in the microwave and avoid using them to store hot food, because heat can increase leaching. You can see our top pick for glass and steel forage containers at cr.org/food storage. And keep your food below the top of the container to avoid contact with the lids, which are often plastic. Steer clear of fast foods. Plasticizers are one more reason to limit consumption of fast food. Our testing found some of the highest levels of phthalates and phthalate substitutes in fast food. Although we can't say exactly why, one possible explanation is that fast foods are often prepared by people wearing vinyl gloves, which are known to be extremely high in these chemicals. That's nice to know, isn't it? Limit high-fat foods. Another reason fast foods may be high in plasticizers is that they tend to be fatty, and some research has found higher levels of plasticizers, many of which are known to be fat-soluble, in foods with higher fat content. One 2020 review, for example, reported that levels of DEHP often were almost 5 to 10 times higher in cream than they were in milk. Eat fresh, minimally processed food. Make sure your diet includes plenty of unpackaged fruits and vegetables that have fewer chances to have contact with phthalates. A study based on 2013 to 2014 data found that people who ate more ultra-processed foods such as French fries and ice cream pops, had higher levels of certain phthalate byproducts in their urine. Choose wood, stainless steel, and silicone for kitchen tools. Chopping on a plastic cutting board can generate microplastics, so consider a wood or silicone board instead. Some plastic uses are probably riskier than others. Dumping hot food into a plastic bowl and using plastic wrap for leftovers may expose you more than giving your lettuce a quick dry in a plastic salad spinner, for example. Use water bottles made of glass and steel. Avoid plastic bottles and cups, which are often made with bisphenols. Carrying around your own stainless steel straw can also make it easy to say no to plastic straws. As a bonus, you'll reduce the amount of trash you generate. And in your world, food is not the only way you're exposed to bisphenols and phthalates. If you want to reduce your exposure to endocrine-disrupting chemicals, you have to think broadly. Phthalates, for example, are a vicious liquid in their raw form, and also a common ingredient in perfumes, cleansers, shampoos, and other cosmetics, and are sometimes used in flooring and furniture. Bisphenols and phthalates are often found in household dust. Here are some smart steps you can take. Go fragrance-free. Soap, cosmetics, and cleaners with fragrances often use phthalates, especially DEP, as a solvent. Open your windows. Because phthalates can be used in furniture, shower curtains and flooring, they can accumulate in household dust, which you can then inhale. Ventilation is important, says Angor Grassabian, Gossman School of Medicine. And if you're vacuuming, make sure you do that with the windows open. Refuse paper receipts. Go for the digital ones instead. Thermal paper receipts, the ones that are a little glossy, are often coated in phthalates. Limit your use of vinyl. Plasticizers are generally a key ingredient in vinyl products. when possible, decrease alternative materials for shower curtains, flooring, car, investors, and clothing, says Amy Ziff, the founder of Made Safe, an organization that has partnered with CR to identify potentially harmful ingredients in products. She says vinyl is sometimes called vegan leather. Why chemical substitutes might not be better. When CR find high levels of phthalates in many foods, we found even higher levels of several chemicals that have been developed to replace these phthalates. Researchers show that little is known about these substitutes. Some may pose similar risk. This phenomenon, and just replacing a dangerous chemical with a newer one that so there might not be any safer, is so common that it has its own name, regrettable substitution. In our test, we found both phthalates and their replacements in many products, with the alternatives often in a much higher concentration. That was especially true for fast foods. For example, a chicken burrito with rice and beans from Moe's Southwest Grill had 48 parts per billion total phthalates, and it's 15,351 ppb phthalate in substitutes. That's 320 times as much. Environmental health experts can see this scenario play out before. It happened when research about the Briska BPA led to public outcry that prompted manufacturers to replace it with a similar chemicals like BPS and BPF. While declaring their products BPA-free, it's happening now with phthalates, as growing awareness of their potential harm have led to increase in alternative practicizers. When a spotlight is shined on a particular phthalate or biphenol, the manufacturer quickly moves on to a first cousin chemical, says Phil Langdon, MD of Boston College. Otherwise, we have little or no information on the substitute. And this speaks to a much larger problem. Chemicals are allowed to come on the market in this country with almost no pre-market safety testing. That gap is why safety advocates say regulators should apply the precautionary principle when new related chemicals come on the market and assume them to be unsafe until proven otherwise. And they say that chemicals should be regulated as classes rather than individually. Otherwise, regulators are just playing whack-a-mole as they try to keep up with industry creates new potentially toxic chemicals without adequate testing, says Michael Hansen, Ph.D., a senior science CR. We need to get ahead of the problem and not play catch-up. Moe's Southwest Grill chicken burrito has a very high level of phthalate substitutes, which can be as harmful as the chemicals they replaced. And I'm going to run through some numbers here. And I'm going to rush that the numbers are the total phthalates per serving in nanograms. So the number is kind of insignificant as far as what we're trying to figure out what we're scaling it against. On the other hand, some of these numbers are really kind of scary. The grocery store foods and fast food CR tests that are listed in order of total of phthalates per serving, while there is no level that scientists have confirmed are safe, lower levels obviously are better. Our results show that though the chemicals are widespread in our food, levels can vary dramatically, even among similar products. So in some cases, you may be able to use our chart to choose products with lower levels. Not all tested foods are shown in this chart. Beverages. Lipton Breakfast Brisk Lemonade has 7,467. Coca-Cola Original Plastic has 6,167. Lipton Diet Green Tea Citrus, 4,433. Poland Spring, 100% natural spring water, 4,200. Juicy Juice, 100% juice apple plastic has 3,300. Pepsi Cola in the can has 2,900. Juicy Juice, 100% juice apple cardboard box has 2,200. Gatorade, Frost Thirst Quencher, Glacier Free Plastic has 1,700. And Polar, Seltzer Raspberry Lime in a can. Ooh, that's what I drink. That makes me feel a whole lot better. Canned beans, homemade chili with beans, 9,800. Bush's chili beans, chili red beans, mild chili sauce, 6,400. Great value baked beans from Walmart, original can, 6,100. Bush's baked beans, original can, 3,700. Condiments, Mrs. Butterworth's syrup, original, 1,000. Hunt's tomato ketchup per can, 574. Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce has 22. Dairy, Fairlife Core Power High Protein Milkshake Chocolate, 20,000 phthalates. SlimFlast High Protein Meal Replacement Shake, Creamy Chocolate, almost 17,000. Dairy continued. Yoplait Original Low-Fat Yogurt French Vanilla, 11,000. Tuscan Dairy Farms Whole Milk, 11,000. Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream Vanilla, 6,400. Wholesome Pantry ShopRite, 4,600. Great Value Walmart Ice Cream, 3,000. Jell-O Pudding Snacks Original Chocolate, 1,700. Sargento Sliced Natural Cheddar Cheese, 1,500. Land O'Lakes Butter Salted as 581. Fast Food. Wendy's Crispy Chicken Nuggets, 34,000. Moe's Southwest Grill Chicken Burrito, 24,000. Chipotle Chicken Burrito, 21,000. Burger King Whopper with Cheese in paper wrapper, 20,000. Burger King Chicken Nuggets in a paper bag, 20,000. Wendy's Dave's Single with Cheese in aluminum foil wrapper paper has 19,500. McDonald's Quarter Pounder with Cheese in cardboard, 10,000. Wendy's Natural Cut French Fries in a paper, 8,900. Burger King Classic French Fries in cardboard and paperboard has 8,500. Fast Food continued. McDonald's Chicken McNuggets, 8,000. Little Caesar's Classic Cheese Pizza, cardboard box, 5,700. McDonald's French Fries in paperboard, 5,500. McDonald's Quarter Pounder Hamburger in varied kind of wrappings, 5,400. Taco Bell Chicken Burrito in a paper wrap, 4,700. Domino's Hand-Tossed Cheese Pizza, cardboard box, 4,300. Wendy's Dave's Single Cheese Jingle Hamburger Patty, and that's varied in what it's wrapped in, 3,600. Burger King Whopper Hamburger in Patty, 2,800. Pizza Hut Original Cheese Pan Pizza, 2,700. Grains, General Mills Cherries Original, 11,000. Success, 10-minute boil-in-bag white rice, 4,300. Pepperidge Farm, Farmhouse Hardy, 2,200. Infant Foods, Gerber, Mealtime for Baby Harvest, Lux Turkey Dinner, glass with lined lid has 4,200. Similac Advanced Milk-Based Powder Formula in a can is 4,200. Beechnut Fruity Pouch Pear, Banana and Raspberries, 2,800. Gerber Cereal for Baby Rice, 1,600. Happy Baby Organics Country Called Country Crafted Banana and Strawberries in glass with a lined lid is 1,300. Happy Baby Organic Milk-Based Infant Powder Formula with Iron, it's in plastic, is 977. Gerber Organic Baby Pouch, Apple Zucchini Spinach Strawberry is 700. Meat and Poultry, Purdue. Ground chicken breast in tray with a plastic tray has 10,000. Trader Joe's ground pork, 80% lean, 20% fat, foam tray has 5,500. Premium Foods Sweet Italian Sausage with plastic wrap has 4,700. Libby's Corned Beef, canned corned beef has 4,000. Bar S, Chicken Jumbo Franks have 3,700. Stop and Shop, ground beef 80% lean, 20% fat, 2,700. Applegate Natural Oven Roasted Turkey, 2,300. Swanson's White Premium Chunk Chicken Breast, 1,300. Johnsonville Smoked Sausage Beef. Hot Links, 900 of the RTBs. Packaged Fruits and Vegetables. Del Monte Sliced Peaches and 100% Fruit Juice, 25,000. Green Giant Cream Style Sweet Corn, 7,600. Del Monte Fresh Cut Italian Green Beans in a can, 5,300. Progresso Vegetable Classics Vegetable Soup in a can, 2800. Bird's Eye Stream Fresh Cut Green Beans in a plastic bag, 900. And Hunt's Tomato Sauce, and that's in a can, 680. Prepared Meals. Annie's Organic Cheesy Ravioli has 55,000 of the thingies. Chef Boyardee's Beefaroni Pasta and Tomato and Meat Sauce, 13,000. Banquet Chicken Pot Pie in a plastic container has 13,000. Campbell's Clunky Chassis Chicken Noodle Soup, 6,700. Chef Boyardee Big Bowl Beefaroni Package and Meat Sauce, 55,000. Campbell's Chicken Noodle Soup in a can, 2,800. Red Baron Brick Oven Pizza has 1,700. Seafood. Chicken of the Sea, Pink Salmon, and Water Skinless Boneless Can, 24,000. King Oscar Wild Caught Sardines in Extra Virgin Olive Oil, 7,800. Snow's Chapel Chopped Clams, 4,400. Starkist Wild Caught Light Tuna in Winter and Water Packs is 1,700. 1,800. I'm sorry, Starkist Chunk Light Tuna in Water is 1,600. And Seasoned Brand Sardines in Water, Skinless and Boneless, is also 1,700. And a different subject entirely. Save and spend more safely online. Concerned that it's too risky to use your bank apps or a service like Venmo? Here's what you need to know about the benefits and risk of using personal finance websites and apps. When it comes to technology, I'm not what you'd call an early adapter. I still read books in print, I resist texting in favor of phone calls, and I have conducted little of my financial online, which is ironic because I've been a personal finance journalist for a long time. But moments before writing this, I deposited my first check, a $15 insurance reimbursement, using a banking app. It was absurdly simple to do, and I instantly felt silly for clinging so long to my practice of trudging over to my bank branch to make deposits. If you too have resisted using digital tools to manage money, it may be time to reconsider. From sending money to loved ones and paying your bills to splitting a check at a restaurant, digital tools make routine money moves highly convenient and are easy to use. Many are designed to be employed in a mobile device, such as a smartphone or tablet. But if you feel more comfortable managing your money in your home computer, lots of businesses have websites that you can make many of the same money moves. You may be concerned about the security of handling your money on app or online, but conducting business in public Wi-Fi networks is not the concern it once was, because most big companies now have use encryption. Privacy and security risks do remain, but CR's experts can pinpoint them and tell you how to protect yourself. Here we look at four popular financial tech tools which you might want to use and how to use them. Banking apps and websites. What they're good for. Most of the routine tasks you might do at a bank branch can easily be accomplished quickly and easily on your phone, tablet, or computer. In addition to depositing checks from almost anywhere simply by taking a photo of both sides of an endorsed check and tapping submit, this includes checking balances, paying bills, and transferring funds. Online bill paying, in particular, can be a huge time saver. No opening paper bills, no check writing, no buying stamps. If you're confident that you'll always have enough money on hand, you can set up your account to automatically pay bills the same each month, such as your mortgage. If you already authorize certain vendors, like your cable provider, to pull money, gotta turn the page, to pull money from your bank account electronically, know that push payments that you authorize through your bank give you more control over your funds. What they cost? Typically nothing beyond the standard cost of maintaining your bank account. Risk to consider. The biggest is that your device is lost or stolen and someone uses it to access your money. Precautions to take. First, protect your phone using the security settings. The names of the settings vary slightly depending on the type of phone you have, but make sure the phone is set to lock automatically after no more than a few minutes of inactivity. It could then be unlocked with a passcode or biometric authentication that recognizes your face or fingerprint. Also, know how to remotely disable access or wipe your device clean if it's stolen or lost. Second, in your banking app or website, enable two-factor, aka multi-factor, authentication, which usually allows online account access only after you enter a password and a secret code that your bank will typically send to your mobile device in real time. Finally, this goes for all financial technology. Always use unique and complex passwords or one of the password managers that CR recommends, such as iPassword, Families, iPassword.com, and DashLinePremium-Lane.com. Peer-to-peer payments. Apple Cash, Cash App, PayPal, Vemna, Zelle. What they're good for. If you're like me, once you start transferring money to friends, family members, and others, use a peer-to-peer, that's a P2P payment app. Say to split a restaurant tab, it'll be hard to believe you ever got along without it. Plus, though P2P apps are intended to transfer to people who know one another, most small businesses now accept P2P payments, and some informal ones, like farmers market vendors, insist on them. What that cost? Nothing, with a few important exceptions. You'll be charged a 3% fee if you fund outgoing transactions with a credit card rather than through a bank account. And most P2P apps charge a 0.5 to 1.5% fee if you want to instantly transfer incoming funds to your bank account. Otherwise, it takes 1 to 3 business days. Zelle is the exception in both cases. It doesn't allow credit card transactions, and instant access to funds is standard. Risk to consider. The most notorious problem is when users type in the wrong recipient address and send money to the wrong person. In such cases, the apps generally won't reimburse users, nor will they help, with only a few exceptions, if you're tricked into sending money to a fraudster. If, say, you bought something online from what turns out to be a business that normally doesn't really exist. In short, many of the legal rights you have in using a credit card don't exist with P2P accounts. Also worth noting, funds left in your P2P account may not be insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, as they would be in a bank account. Precautions to take. Before sending money, confirm the recipient's identity with a phone number, email address, or QR code. Consider sending $1 test payment and if confirming it was received before sending more. Move money from your P2P account into an FDIC-insured bank account as soon as possible. And turn on all identity verification options in the app. Also, don't broadcast to the world everyone you send money to, which is the default setting on some P2P apps. For how to prevent that, see How to Perfect Your Privacy at Right, which we'll look at later. Digital wallets. Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung Pay, what they're good for. Digital wallets store credit and debit card information in your smartphone so that you can pay for things by waving your device at the credit card reader. They also have security benefits. Unlike a credit card, your phone and account data are protected by passwords, biometric authentication, and encryption if they fall into the wrong hands. Digital wallets can also store digital event tickets and airline boarding passes, so you don't have to dig through email at the gate or print those out in advance. They can also be used to store loyalty rewards cards, coupons, and gift cards. What that cost? Generally nothing. But standard P2P fees may apply if you choose to use a digital wicker that way. Risk to consider. Someone steals your phone and uses to access your funds or card information, or your phone dies and you don't have plastic cards with you. Precautions to take. Again, make sure all available security tools are on and that you can remotely disable and erase your phone if it's lost. Also, keep separate lists of the cards in your digital wallet so that you can cancel them if needed. It's smart to do the same with the cards in your personal wallet, too. Budgeting apps. ePower, EveryDollar, GoodBudget, Monarch, NerdWallet, PocketGuard, Simplify, you need a budget. What they're good for? Helping you build and manage a budget by making it easy to track, visualize, and analyze your spending by category and to set savings and debt reduction goals. What they cost? Few cost nothing, but many offer free entry-level versions and charge between $8 and $18 a month for more robust features. Many offer also a free trial period. If your phone is lost or stolen, your financial information could potentially be exposed. In addition to CR technology and privacy policy analysts, consumers who use these apps won't always be able to limit the sharing and monetization of their data, especially if they live in a state with no comprehensive privacy laws. Use complex passwords, enable biometric and two-factor authentication, and know how to disable your phone from afar if it goes missing. how to protect your privacy. Another concern about financial technology is it could leak your personal information, not only to marketeers, but also potentially to businesses, data brokers, and even governments that could use it inappropriately. What to do about it? Start by limiting the information your phone stores with an app. On an iPhone, and go to Settings, scroll to the app in question, then deny it access to any features it doesn't need to function, such as location tracking. On Android phones, go to Settings, then Privacy, then Permission Manager, then Permission Type. Check the privacy setting within the apps as well. With Venmo, for example, the privacy settings will prevent all the world from knowing with whom you engage money, exchange money. But those controls generally do not prevent apps from sharing your info with third parties that aren't involved in the core service. Some providers let you opt out when you first set up an account. Read the terms and conditions carefully. After that, you may need to send an email or a letter to the company, but a growing number of states that with support from CR and other privacy advocates are considering laws that would prohibit companies of all kinds from collecting more data than they need without your consent and would enable consumers to easily opt out of data sharing. And with that, let's close out with a couple of humor in uniform. My son was stationed at Fort Bragg in North Carolina when he texted telling me to expect a call in 10 minutes. My curiosity was piqued. Was everything okay? As promised, 10 minutes later the phone rang. Vince, what's up? I said. Can you hear me? He shouted. Yes, why? I just jumped out of a plane and wanted to see if I'd get reception on the way down. Now that's funny. A fellow Air Force cadet entered the chow hall without doffing his cap, a big no-no, and our drill instructor let him know it. The cadet was ordered to throw the cap on the ground and stomp on it, hollering, "Bad hat! Bad hat!" During the Cold War, I served as a radio operator in West Berlin. Our third-floor barracks windows overlooked the Berlin Wall and the East German guard tower. Peering into the tower, I noticed the guards were playing poker, so I picked up five cards and held them to the window. Seconds later, they held up five cards. We each grabbed our binoculars and played a hand. For one moment, we weren't adversaries, just guys playing cards. And here's all in a day's work. I missed being a teacher yesterday, so I let my coffee go cold, didn't pee for 7 hours, and stood in the living room repeating myself. I'm sorry, I can't respond to your work email. I've taken my bra off for the night. And with that, we've run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thank you so much for listening.